Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, May 20th, 2022. Coming up this hour.
Stocks set for another weekly decline after losing $1 trillion in value since Monday.
Geopolitics in focus as Joe Biden makes his first presidential trip to Asia.
The Senate passes a $40 billion aid package for Ukraine.
And the world's second biggest baby formula maker reportedly increases shipments to the U.S.
A possible monkeypox case has been identified in New York City, plus the January 6th panel wants to question the GOP lawmaker about a Capitol tour. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashar in sports. The Yankees lost, the Mets won, but learned of a serious injury, and Rory McIlroy has the lead at the PGA Championship.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
Good morning, I'm John Tucker.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. stock index futures are higher this morning. We're coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 42 points, Dow futures up 270, and NASDAQ futures up 181. 10-year Treasury down 7/32. The yield is at 2.86%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.62%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.5% or 56 cents at $111.65 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.1%. Or $2.50 at $18.50.30 an ounce. John.
Well, Karen, U.S. futures are higher as we close out what appears to be another losing week for stocks. In fact, the S&P 500 is on track for a seventh straight weekly decline. That would be its longest decline in 21 years. And traders are bracing for another volatile day. The monthly expiration of options tied to equities and exchange-traded funds takes place today. Kathy Entwistle is a managing director at Morgan Stanley.
Things are volatile. They are uncertain. It's giving everybody a little bit of uneasiness and a lot of people asking what to do in these markets.
Morgan Stanley's Kathy Entwistle making the comments on Bloomberg Business Week. Heard weekdays from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Radio. S&P 500 has lost more than $1 trillion in market value over the past four sessions.
Well, John, one stock that is not helping market sentiment this morning is Applied Materials. It's down more than 1% in early trading after the chipmaker delivered a weak forecast. And we get the story from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
Applied is the biggest maker of machinery that's used to manufacture semiconductors. It said sales will be about $6.25 billion in the fiscal third quarter, which runs through July. Analysts have estimated $6.69 billion on average, according to data compiled by Bloomberg. The chip industry is ordering machinery from Applied and its peers at a frantic rate, trying to build enough production capacity to end industry-wide shortages that are hurting growth across the economy. But those same shortages are leaving Applied without the components it needs to make its equipment. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Charlie. The semiconductor industry will be in focus when Joe Biden makes his first presidential trip to Asia. The president's time at South Korea and Japan will focus on security and supply chains. Bloomberg's Amy Morris has details from our 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
The president is set to visit a Samsung semiconductor complex as he seeks to shore up supply chains that reduce reliance on China, an indication of the emphasis he's placing on strengthening semiconductor alliances among the world's largest chipmakers to ease those shortages that have dragged on the global economy. He'll also meet with regional leaders to garner more support for Ukraine to fend off Russia's invasion and counter security threats from China and North Korea. The visit runs through Tuesday. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Amy, thank you. Meantime, on Capitol Hill, the U.S. Senate has passed an aid package for Ukraine worth more than $40 billion and now awaits President Biden's signature. At the same time, the administration said it is providing Ukraine with another $100 million in military assistance.
The baby formula shortage also in focus this morning. According to Reuters, the world's second biggest baby formula maker increasing shipments from Europe to the U.S. The move by Danone comes after Abbott Laboratories had to recall some products. Virginia Senator Tim Kaine is a member of the Senate Foreign Relations and Armed Services Committees.
We're now going to use the Defense Production Act to increase production. We're allowing importation of formula that's safe from other countries. The company that closed its plant down has reached an agreement to do some fixes. They should be reopened within 2 weeks and starting to produce again. So we will solve this problem. I think you'll see that be bipartisan, but we'll have to have that vote next week and see.
Virginia Senator Tim Kaine spoke with our Washington correspondent Joe Matthew on Bloomberg Sound On. Catch that program weekdays at 5 p.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Radio.
And John, we're also focusing on the pandemic with news on vaccine eligibility. Younger children across the U.S. can now receive a COVID booster shot developed by Pfizer. We get the details live with Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Karen. CDC Director Rochelle Walensky recommends the booster for children ages 5 to 11 years old. Making the shot available to school-age kids will provide much-needed protection against the contagious Omicron subvariants that are spreading across the country. Walensky says kids in this age group should receive a booster dose at least 5 months after their primary series. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Renita, thanks. There's also a sign today that the travel industry is bouncing back. Leisure travel now back to pre-COVID levels. Let's get the story from Bloomberg's Doug Krisner.
The trend could help the travel industry this summer. The MasterCard Economics Institute says for the first time since global movement was halted by the pandemic, leisure travel has returned to 2019 levels, and higher airfares don't appear to be a deterrent. The average global airfare is up 18% since the start of the year. MasterCard says if flight bookings continue at their current pace, an estimated 1.5 billion more passengers globally will fly this year compared to last, with Europe seeing the biggest increase. In New York, I'm Doug Krisner, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Doug, thank you. Well, we are seeing the carnage in retail stocks continue this morning. Now, shares of Ross Stores down more than 27% in early trading. The discount retailer cutting its outlook for profit and sales. Ross's outlook downgrade follows similar moves this week by Kohl's, Target, and Walmart.
And ahead of the cash open on Wall Street, futures right now in the green, Dow futures up 303 points. That's a rise of 1%. S&P E-mini futures, there are 47 points. That's up 1.2%. And the NASDAQ futures, 196 points higher, up 1.7%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. It's now 5:07 on Wall Street. That's time to bring in Michael Barr with more on what else is going on in New York and around the world.
John, thank you very much, sir. Health officials say a possible case of monkeypox is being investigated in New York City. It would add to the case already reported in Massachusetts. The city's health department announced on Twitter that the patient is being cared for at Bellevue Hospital in Manhattan. Officials say preliminary tests for the virus are being conducted, and if positive, will be sent to the CDC for confirmation. Relatives of the 10 black people gunned down in a Buffalo supermarket are pleading with the nation to confront and stop racist violence. Agony poured out in the tears of a 12-year-old child, Jake Patterson, who lost his father. The child covered his face with his hands as his mother spoke.
His heart is broken. He has sleep. He has eat. And as a mother, what am I supposed to do?
Veronica White is the aunt of another victim, Andre McNeil.
This is so senseless. I cannot believe somebody would give some child a gun and let him think that it's okay and come in somebody's hometown and just shoot it up.
Earlier yesterday, the accused gunman, who is white, 18-year-old Peyton Gendron, silently faced a murder indictment in court. Authorities are investigating the possibility of hate crime and terrorism charges against him. The White House calls Oklahoma's new abortion bill the most extreme effort to undo the fundamental rights laid out in Roe v. Wade. Oklahoma's legislature gave final approval to the bill, which would ban almost all abortions from the moment of conception. Vice President Kamala Harris hosted a virtual meeting with abortion providers at the White House.
That's just the latest in a series of extreme laws around the country.
Oklahoma's governor has vowed to sign it into law. The House panel investigating the January 6th riot wants to question a Republican lawmaker who is said to have led a group tour of the Capitol a day before the attack. Georgia GOP Representative Barry Loudermilk is being asked to answer questions before the congressional committee. Panel Chairman Benny Thompson said the committee's review of evidence contradicts denials from some Republicans that there were no tours or large groups brought to the Capitol.
Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. John.
Michael, thank you. Coming up on 610 on Wall Street, 510 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
All right, John. Thrilling win for the Mets. They've had a lot of those already this season. The Cardinals got two home runs from Paul Goldschmidt. Led in the ninth inning, the Mets tied it. St. Louis went back ahead top of the 10th. Heroics in the bottom.
Diego's ready. A belt tie set his pitch. Alonso hammers one. Left field. Way back. It's long gone. The Mets win in the bottom of the 10th. Pete Alonso drives one out against Gallegos, and the Mets finish off a series victory in 10 innings.
WCBS had the call. Mets won 7-6. Alonso now leads all of baseball with 36 RBIs. However, during the game came the news on Max Scherzer. He has an oblique strain. He's going to miss 6 to 8 weeks. So the Mets were hoping to have this great 1-2 punch of Scherzer and Jacob DeGrom. Both are hurt, and so is another starter, Tyler McGill. Just as the Mets had their walk-off win, the Yankees suffered a walk-off loss in Baltimore. The Orioles' Anthony Santander, three-run homer, bottom of the ninth off Lucas Litke for a 9-6 Orioles win. The Yanks had tied the game with two out in the top of the ninth. NBA playoffs, Celtics up 25 at halftime, and they won game two in Miami by 25 to tie the series up. Stanley Cup playoff wins for St. Louis and Tampa Bay. The two-time defending champs go home up 2-0 on Florida. Rangers-Hurricanes game two tonight in Raleigh after the Canes took the opener in overtime. Rory McIlroy hasn't won a major since the 2014 PGA. McIlroy leads this year's PGA by one shot. Going to today's second round in Tulsa, live coverage, Bloomberg Radio today starting at 4, PGA Tonight Show at 11. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. John?
All right, thanks, John. And Dow Futures ahead of the open on Wall Street, 303 points higher right now. The S&P Futures up 46 points, and the NASDAQ Futures up 195 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Just ahead on Daybreak, President Biden arrives in South Korea to begin his first Asia trip. We'll speak with Bloomberg's Amory Hordern. What's on the agenda? This is Bloomberg.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks in Europe and U.S. stock index futures are pushing higher after China's latest measure to bolster its economy injected a note of optimism at the end of another volatile week for global markets. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 51 points this morning. Dow futures up 340. And NASDAQ futures up 214. The DAX in Germany is up 1.9%. 10-year Treasury down 8/32nds. Yield 2.86%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.63%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.5%, down 56 cents at $111.65 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.1% of $1.60 at $18.49.40 an ounce. The euro 1.0582 against the dollar. British pound 1.2489 and the yen 128.21. And Bitcoin this morning lower down 0.1% at $30,190. And Deere & Company and Foot Locker are among companies scheduled to report earnings today. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Karen. President Joe Biden has landed in South Korea. He will meet South Korean President Yoon Suk-yeol as they face a growing threat from North Korea's nuclear weapons and missile program. Both U.S. and South Korean intelligence officials say it's possible that North Korea will conduct a ballistic or nuclear test around Biden's visit to South Korea and Japan. The Senate has passed a $40 billion package of military, economic, and food aid for Ukraine and U.S. allies. The vote was 86-11. In the NBA playoffs, the Celtics have evened their series at a game apiece after beating the Heat 127-102. In baseball, the Yankees lost to the Orioles 9-6. The Mets won along with the Red Sox. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. John.
Michael, thank you. It is 519 on Wall Street. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Well, as Michael just mentioned, Joe Biden embarking on his first presidential trip to South Korea and Japan. For more, we're joined by Bloomberg Radio and TV Washington correspondent Anne-Marie Hordern. Anne-Marie, good to have you. Happy Friday. So what's on the agenda?
Happy Friday. Well, he just touched down in Seoul, and the president is going to be visiting a Samsung facility. It's really a massive complex. Also, it likely mirrors what the United States and Samsung wants to do in this plant they plan on building in Texas. This Samsung trip really underscores the emphasis Biden has placed in America about making sure the United States could fortify their supply chains when it comes to these very important microchips. And I imagine at some point you're going to hear him point the finger at Congress, which for months has been trying to get over the finish line, a very broad China competition bill that has north of $50 billion to semiconductor research.
Yeah, what else is in this China competition bill, and how that all fits in, the chances of passage at this point? Is this trip going to make a difference in getting that passed?
Well, I think this trip just gives the president a moment to use foreign policy to pivot back to why it matters for everyday Americans. So you'll see a lot of him trying to weave in the foreign policy with his domestic agenda. When it comes to how this timeline for this bill is, you do have in conference, which means you have representatives from the House and those from the Senate meeting to try to work out the differences, because they both passed their own versions of this bill. But that does take weeks, if not months. You also have the House going on recess. So I would say prepare for something around the end of the summer that we could see this finally get across the finish line. But the president was very direct with Congress. He said, quote, pass the damn bill. So his patience is running out.
There was also the Trans-Pacific Partnership Regional Trade Agreement. And well, we withdrew from that under the previous administration. Where does that stand? Is that a focus?
Yeah, so that will be a focus when the president moves on to Japan. And now the TPP, you're going to have something like TPP version, a new version of it, but just doesn't have as much heft. It's a bit hazy on exactly what it means. But basically, Biden plans to kick off this Indo-Pacific economic framework. And this is part of the administration's ongoing efforts to counter China's clout. And it somewhat takes the place of that TPP, but the administration has stressed that it won't include lower tariffs or better access to U.S. markets. The Financial Times also reported that in, you know, an 11th hour moment, they actually watered down some of the language. So it's still very confusing on what exactly this economic framework can deliver. But I think the Biden administration is just trying to find a placeholder for these regional allies instead of, TPP, which the Trump administration pulled the U.S. out of. So it's really just a starting point.
While he's over there, there is the chance that North Korea could do something loony. There's also tensions with China over Taiwan. How are those being addressed?
So when it comes to North Korea, and it's a good point because they have a habit of timing these provocations to political events. And now you have the president in South Korea, and then he'll be going over meeting with Quad leaders in Japan. So you talk to U.S. officials, and they say they are preparing for either a launch of an intercontinental ballistic missile or potentially for North Korea to conduct a nuclear test as it coincides with Biden in the region. So this is something that I think would also just really highlight the U.S.'s stance in the region, because this is something they need to work with their allies in the region about. And this is, you know, making sure they could fend off these provocations from North Korea. And then when it comes to China, I don't expect them to say China much, but you can imagine everything the president is doing is about making sure they are fortifying the United States versus China when it comes to competition. The entire administration, they started about this pivot to Asia, and it just got confusing, right? Because a lot of the time the administration has been spending over the past months has been, of course, dealing with the war in Ukraine.
How do these trips, I'll get 30 seconds left, how do they play at home? What's the domestic consumption? The grocery bill, by the way, yesterday was $167. The fill-up with the car this morning was $65.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head, right? I think the president, you know, when he visits the Samsung factory, and if he gives any comments about it, it'll be about wanting to fortify America's supply chains, which is why they want that bill passed, because they want to make sure that you can get products in America and make them cheaper. But we do know this is not going to impact inflation tomorrow or next week or by November. These are long-term goals. So right now, Americans really only care about what you mentioned, their kitchen table and their gas pump.
Thanks, Anne-Marie. Always a pleasure. Bloomberg Radio and TV, Washington correspondent Anne-Marie Hordern. And right now, Dow futures of 305 points. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg weather for today from Rob Carolyn. Dense fog advisory in effect for north of the city. That goes through 9 a.m. And then clouds will give way to partial sun. The high today, about 75 degrees. This is Bloomberg.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991. To Boston. Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco. Bloomberg 960. To the country. Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm John Tucker.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 4 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. stock index futures are higher this morning as we close out a trading week that saw the S&P 500 lose more than $1 trillion in market value. The index is down almost 19% from its January 3rd closing high and is on track for a seventh week of losses. Ken Griffin is CEO of Citadel.
What we're seeing in the markets is a rotation from growth stocks with earnings very far in the future towards stocks that are much more value stocks, earnings here in the present. And this reflects the fact that real rates for the first time in a very long time are likely to go positive in 2023.
And Citadel CEO Ken Griffin made the comments to Bloomberg's Francine Lacqua at the Bloomberg Intelligence Market Structure 3.0 conference in New York.
Results from Applied Materials weighing on sentiment this morning. Shares down about 1% in early trading. The company delivered a weak forecast as chip shortages persist.
Well, turning to politics, John, President Joe Biden heads to South Korea and Japan to reassure allies of America's commitment to Asia. Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis has the details.
The last time a U.S. president visited Seoul in 2019, Donald Trump and Kim Jong-un agreed to restart nuclear talks. This time, the White House has not indicated Biden will be heading up to the DMZ. In the meantime, the North Korean leader is preparing to launch another ICBM and possibly conduct his first nuclear test since 2017. President Biden is aiming to firm up the U.S. pivot to Asia and counter China's military buildup in the region. Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Brian. The pandemic also in focus this morning, with news on vaccine eligibility. Younger children across the U.S. can now receive a COVID booster shot developed by Pfizer. Let's get details live from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, John. CDC Director Rochelle Walensky recommends the booster for children ages 5 to 11 years old. That makes the shot available to school-age kids, and it'll provide much-needed protection against contagious Omicron subvariants spreading across the country. Walensky says kids in this age group should receive a booster dose at least 5 months after their primary series. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. And it looks like travel has now fully rebounded from the pandemic. According to a report by the MasterCard Economics Institute, vacation travel is finally back to levels last seen before March of 2020. Again, futures this morning are on the rise. And straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. This is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thanks. 5:33 on Wall Street. Time to bring in Michael Barr with more on what else is going on in New York and around the world.
John, thank you very much, sir. A possible case of monkeypox is being investigated in New York City, adding to the case already reported in Massachusetts. Health officials said preliminary tests for the virus are being conducted and, if positive, will be sent to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention for confirmation. The patient is being treated at Bellevue Hospital in Manhattan. Experts say it's a rare illness. University of California, San Francisco professor of medicine, Dr. Peter Chinong, is an infectious disease expert.
There is an adapted vaccine for monkeypox, but the interesting thing is that if you've been vaccinated with smallpox, you get protection against monkeypox because it's really closely related.
Dr. Peter Chin Hong says he doesn't believe monkeypox will run rampant. A House Republican is pushing back on the January 6th committee that claims he gave unauthorized Capitol tours the day before the attack. The committee says it has evidence that Georgia Republican Congressman Barry Loudermilk gave a tour of the Capitol. The committee wants Loudermilk to testify. Tops Markets vow they would reopen their Buffalo supermarket after Saturday's deadly mass shooting. Meanwhile, the 18-year-old suspected gunman appeared in court yesterday. The Oklahoma State Legislature passed a bill which would ban almost all abortions from the moment of conception. The bill includes narrow exceptions to protect the life of the mother and for cases of rape and incest, but only if they are reported to law enforcement. State Representative Wendy Stearman is the bill's author.
Well, the goal of this is to protect the child, the unborn child. So I believe that putting in the exception as we have it is acceptable in this situation.
Representative Stearman says Oklahoma's governor is expected to sign the bill into law. Vice President Kamala Harris called the bill outrageous. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. It's now 5:36 on Wall Street. That's time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. And here's John Stashower.
Thanks, John. Bittersweet day for the Mets. A thrilling win at Citi Field. 7-6 over the Cardinals on a walk-off two-run homer. 10th inning by Pete Alonso. But during the game came the update on Max Scherzer, who took himself out of Wednesday's game, and the MRI showed an oblique strain. Scherzer is off to a 5-1 start as a Met, is going to miss the next 6 to 8 weeks. And Jacob DeGrom, of course, has yet to pitch. No timetable on his return. Tyler McGill is another Met starter currently on the injured list. Yankees ended the road trip with a 9-6 loss in Baltimore. A back-and-forth game that the Yanks tied with two outs in the ninth inning. But Anthony Santander, a walk-off three-run homer, bottom of the ninth. NBA, the East Finals are tied at 1. The Celtics won by 25 in Miami. NHL, Tampa Bay won again at Florida. The two-time defending Stanley Cup champs are up 2-0. First playoff loss for Colorado, beaten by St. Louis. The Rangers tonight need to play like they did in the first two periods of Game 1 and not like they played in the third period or the overtime. It's Game 2 in Raleigh after the Hurricanes won the opener. They'll play Round 2 of the PGA Championship today in Tulsa. Rory McIlroy, who won the 2014 PGA and has not won a major since, has a one-shot lead. He shot 65. He played with Tiger Woods, who shot 74, bogeyed 6 of the last 10 holes.
I just can't load it. And loading hurts. And pressing off it hurts. And walking hurts. And the twisting hurts. So this is golf. If I don't play that, if I don't do that, then I'm all right.
Thank you very much. In danger of missing the cut. Live PGA coverage, Bloomberg Radio today starting at 4. PGA Tonight Show at 11. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. John?
John, thanks. 5:37 on Wall Street. And time now for the Tri-State Business Report. For that, we're joined by Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
U.S. Labor Board prosecutors plan to accuse Amazon of threatening staffers. It alleges they were told if they unionized, Amazon could pay them minimum wage. It also accuses Amazon of punishing an employee for seeking a paid Juneteenth holiday. The allegations are among many taken to the labor board by the Amazon Labor Union. The number of short-term rentals in New York City is outpacing the number of available apartments. Total number of short-term rentals of entire homes is more than 13,000, according to AirDNA. Rental inventory, meanwhile, in Manhattan, Brooklyn, and a part of Queens hovers just over 7,500. Grubhub's attempts to drum up buzz for its food delivery service by offering free lunch in New York didn't work out. On Tuesday, the company offered New Yorkers a free lunch, excluding tips and fees. A surge in orders resulted in delayed or absent deliveries. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
Thanks, Ed. 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in now with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Courtney Dunahoe on WHAS in Louisville. Ford is recalling more than 39,000 SUVs on a fire risk.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WFLA in Orlando, I'm reporting that Verizon plans to invest an additional $149 million in Florida to meet a surge in growth.
I'm Lisa Mateo, and on WBZ in Boston, I'll be reporting on teen babysitters making big bucks.
I'm Ed Corey on WTAM in Cleveland. I'm reporting April home sales fell in Northeast Ohio.
I'm Steve Potusk on 1010 Winds in New York. We're talking about U.S. labor officials accusing Amazon of threatening Staten Island warehouse staff if they voted to unionize.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Shares of Ross Stores have lost more than a quarter of their value this morning. The discount retailer cutting its outlook for profit and sales. Let's get the story this morning in this report from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellet.
Ross said it sees the key retail metric of comparable sales falling 2 to 4% for the year versus previous guidance of unchanged to a gain of as much as 3%. It also trimmed its forecast for earnings per share. The results spell out how quickly the panorama is shifting as accelerating inflation eats into consumers' purchasing power and erodes companies' profits. Ross's outlook downgrade follows similar moves this week by Kohl's, Target, and Walmart. In New York, Charlie Pellet, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And the earnings continue to roll in. Deere reporting today, a preview from Tom Busby.
The big focus for investors is whether demand for Deere's farming equipment remains strong as the war in Ukraine has brought production of one of the world's largest grain producers to a standstill. Investors will also watch the impact of those global supply chain problems that have hamstrung a number of manufacturers. Consensus calls for adjusted earnings per share of $6.70 on revenues of just over $13.25 billion. Tom Busby, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Tom. Dow futures right now up 300 points. This is Bloomberg. Just ahead, is there a risk that the Federal Reserve is actually overdoing it? We'll speak with Priya Misra, rate strategist at TD Securities. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and stocks in Europe and U.S. stock index futures are pushing higher this morning after China's latest measure to bolster its economy injected a note of optimism at the end of another volatile week for global markets. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day. On Bloomberg, S&P futures up about 42 points, Dow futures up 270, and NASDAQ futures up 177. The DAX in Germany is up 1.7%. The 10-year Treasury down 6/32, yield 2.85%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.62%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.33% or 37 cents at $111.84 a barrel. COMEX gold up about 0.2%, up $2.70 at $18.50 an ounce. The euro, 1.0581 against a dollar, British pound 1.2475, and the yen 128.11. And Bitcoin this morning is up about a tenth of a percent. It's at $30,260. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. President Joe Biden arrived in South Korea, where he's visiting a Samsung Electronics semiconductor complex. Biden is seeking to bolster supply chains that reduce reliance on China. Biden's first trip to Asia as president, which runs through Tuesday, also includes Japan. U.S. health advisors are urging a booster dose of Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine for kids ages 5 to 11. A CDC panel signed off on the booster shots yesterday. In the NBA playoffs, the Celtics have evened their series at a game apiece after beating the Heat 127-102. In baseball, the Yankees lost to the Orioles 9-6. The Mets won along with the Red Sox. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. John.
Michael, thank you very much. It is now 5:49 on Wall Street. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Well, the Federal Reserve is on the rate hiking path to try and slay the inflation dragon. But Isn't there a risk the Fed might be actually overdoing it? Priya Misra, rate strategist at TD Securities, joins us now. Priya, the market seems to be pricing some aspect of that, that the Fed may actually be on the path to overdoing it. Is that right?
Absolutely. I think, you know, the interest rate market, I think, for the entire year was really pricing in inflation and the Fed that's raising rates more than was priced in. I'd say in the last few weeks, the market has gotten concerned that, you know, the Fed really doesn't have a lot of control over inflation in the near term. A lot of the inflation increases because of commodity prices, you know, and the China lockdowns. So if inflation stays high and we're seeing signs that it's persistent, I think the fear that the market is expressing now is that the Fed could overdo it, that they could, you know, tighten into a slowing economy. And that's why we've noticed interest rates falling. We've seen the curve steepening and we've seen equities, you know, performing as well. I actually think it may be a little too early for that fear because the Fed right now is only indicating that they will get to neutral expeditiously. I guess that's the word that the Fed's using. Beyond neutral, they're keeping options open. And I think that's the real test. Near year end, when we get to neutral, so around 2.5 on the funds rate, does the Fed at that point say inflation's too high and we have to get to 3.5, 4? I think then a recession is very likely. Or do they say that inflation is heading somewhat lower and therefore we can tolerate slightly higher inflation and they actually slow down the pace of rate hikes? I think that's the big decision that the Fed will have to make, and that's going to determine whether we head into a slowdown or a full recession.
Does anybody know what the neutral rate is going to be?
Good point. We don't, and the Fed is also admitting that they don't know. I think because part of the issue with the neutral rate is you have to have a sense of inflation, which has been notoriously hard to forecast. I'd say there's more, or at least I'm more convinced on the real neutral rate, which is around zero. But if inflation is, you know, inflation expectations over the next year, if that's 3%, then 3% is closer to neutral, or does it come back down to 2? But I think in general, the Fed is in the 2.5 to 3% camp, would be somewhere near neutral. I struggled. The market was pricing in 3.5% on the funds rate just 2 weeks ago, which I felt was overdoing it in terms of the optimism that the Fed can hike that much. I think 3.5 is well above neutral. We could debate whether it's 2.5 or 3. I think that's fair.
Are we seeing the possibility of returning to fiscal stimulus in parts of the world?
I think it's tough because there's not a lot of fiscal space globally. You know, I think there was a lot of fiscal stimulus post-COVID. And in certain parts of the world, in the U.S., I would say parts of EM, I think that fiscal space is gone, particularly given how much of a risk inflation is. I do think there's monetary space. And, you know, China is showing that. China also potentially does have fiscal space because they have significant slowdown in growth. So I think the global growth headwind is also, you know, weighing on the U.S. And if we do get stimulus elsewhere, fiscal or monetary, I think what we saw overnight was monetary out of China. I think that can help. It can help slow down. But again, the U.S. is a relatively closed economy. So if the Fed continues to raise rates and do QT, I think that slowdown fear will remain with us.
How uptight are the financial conditions right now?
They are fairly tight. They're not as tight as the issue is when you look at it on a long history. COVID sort of, you know, messes up our historical metrics. So they're not as tight as COVID, but that's a very high bar. They're not as tight as the financial conditions, you know, into the Lehman crisis. But they are fairly tight. The issue is, you know, we are very easy. So on a change basis, it looks worrying. On an absolute basis, they're tight, but are they tight enough to cause a recession? You know, I think that, yeah. I do struggle with. I think they do slow down the economy.
Have the reasons for buying treasuries, have they changed significantly? Got about 20 seconds left.
I think so, yes. I think particularly in the front end. So the 0 to 5 year sector, I like owning that because if the economy does slow down, I think the Fed will not be able to raise rates as much as is priced in. So I think that's a new dynamic in the last few weeks, which makes a reason to buy that very front end.
Always a pleasure. We appreciate it. Priya Misra, Global Head of Rate Strategy at TD Securities, with us this morning. A look at the benchmark 10-year yield right now, 286, up 2 basis points. Karen.
All right, John, thank you. And it's 5:54 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Law Report brought to you by American Arbitration Association. Business disputes are inevitable. Resolve faster with the American Arbitration Association, the global leader in alternative dispute resolution for over 90 years. More at ADR.org. You know, here's a legal story we're watching this morning. A family in Philadelphia is suing TikTok over the death of a 10-year-old girl who allegedly participated in an online challenge in which people choke themselves until they black out. Nyla Anderson's family accuses the social media platform of marketing a defective product and negligence, alleging that the dangerous dare was thrust in front of the girl by TikTok on her For You page. For more, Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks to Eric Goldman, a professor at Santa Clara University Law School.
The mom is not suing the people who posted the challenge, but she's suing the social media platform the challenge was on. Is that unusual?
Right. So the lawsuit then seeks to treat the video services as if they're providing dangerous content or harmful content in a way that can be legally restricted. And this has become pretty common in internet law today to try to treat internet services as if they're a dangerous product, that they murder people like smoking kills smokers. And those legal theories are being tested in the court right now, but we're seeing them quite frequently nowadays.
The suit alleges that TikTok's algorithm determined that this deadly blackout challenge was likely to be of interest to the 10-year-old girl and that it showed up on her For You page. So does the suit depend on proving this algorithm did that?
Well, to be clear, TikTok didn't have some kind of magician at the back end saying, I think that this is the kind of content that this particular viewer is most likely to respond to. It's all done by algorithm. So there's a bunch of formulas that set up what content might be appropriate or not for the audience, but they're never going to be perfect, and they're always going to make assumptions about the people that they're exposing to. Now, one of the questions underlying this lawsuit is whether or not the video actually caused the death. And this is a complicated question in legal circles because there's a lot of things that contributed to the ultimate death. And we have to then establish that the video is the basis of the death and that TikTok then could have done something to prevent that from occurring. And so there's a bunch of legal questions embedded in this assertion that the algorithms caused the death. We have to really take a look at that from a legal standpoint, and it's not clear what the answers will be.
Does the Communications Decency Act play in anywhere here?
It does. So Section 230 says quite simply that websites aren't liable for third-party content. The videos at issue here appear to be third-party content uploaded by other users. And so on its face, it appears that TikTok may be able to say that the lawsuit is trying to hold TikTok liable for publishing third-party content, what Section 230 or the CDA doesn't permit.
And it's Eric Goldman, a professor at Santa Clara University Law School, speaking with Bloomberg's June Grasso. Catch more of that interview, plus analysis of the latest legal news, by listening to the Bloomberg Law Show at 10 p.m. Eastern Time or subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast. And attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com. Futures higher this morning. S&P futures up 43 points and Dow futures up 279. NASDAQ futures up 179. And still ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak, a check on the business headlines and all the news you need to start your day. This is Bloomberg.